For many people, the prospect of public speaking produces nearly as much anxiety as the prospect of dying. And there are all sorts of funny pieces of advice for dealing with this anxiety. The funniest, perhaps, is to picture your audience in their underwear. Now, fortunately, I don't have much anxiety about public speaking. Whether you put me before a room of 10 faithful people or 1,000 people, I'm relatively comfortable. Being comfortable with public speaking is a definite help in doing my job, since I'm up here in front of you, you know, every Sunday, just about. So you don't have to worry, I'm not picturing any of you in your underwear. Unfortunately, my anxiety kicks in when I am in a one-to-one conversation with another person. There's worrying about eye contact, there's worrying about am I too loud, are they too soft, there's worrying about all that external sound in a room, there's worrying about my ability to block out those other noises, there's worrying about what the other person is saying, there's worrying about my ability to be truly present in the conversation. Essentially, there's a lot of worrying going on. Combine all of those things that I worry about with my extreme level of discomfort with conflict and the mere prospect of following Christ's directions, it's just overwhelming. Because listen again to the first part of what Jesus says in today's reading from Matthew's Gospel. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when you're alone. Here comes up the level of anxiety. Is it really possible that Jesus really means for believers to deal directly with one another? Is it really possible that Jesus really means for church members to talk to one another? Is it really possible that Jesus really means that Christians should not spread rumors? And worse yet, is it really possible that Jesus really means that people of faith can be brought back into right relationship by having one-to-one conversations? I'm doomed. Much to my chagrin, I think this is exactly what Jesus is suggesting. Jesus doesn't provide any outs or passes on this value of direct dealing. Essentially, no level of anxiety should stop us as Christians from approaching each other privately but directly in the case of sin. But listen again to what can happen if this policy of direct dealing is follows. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. If the sinner hears what you are saying, relationships can be restored. If there is an honest encounter, an encounter rooted in Christian love and mutual respect, the sinner and the sinned against can become models for the rest of the church. After all, and especially in small congregations like ours, tense and hurting relationships between two individuals can impact how the rest of the members of the church interact with each other. If there is sin, whether real or perceived in the relationship, if that sin, whether it's real or perceived, affects two individuals, the health of the whole congregation is affected. Now, I believe Jesus understands how difficult this is. He continues by acknowledging that an honest and holy encounter between two individuals doesn't always resolve the tension. But, and this is important, I believe that Jesus believes that the resolution of tension can be a holy, life-giving, and life-affirming experience. So much that Jesus promises in his very presence in the relationship between the forgiven sinner and the brave sinned against. He says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." In small congregations like ours, where we have 10 faithful people here this morning, we often focus on the two or three part of what Jesus says. Just as important, though, is the idea of gathering in Christ's name. We can't be truly gathered in Christ's name if we are at odds with each other. So much of Christ's ministry centered on reconciliation, truly knowing another person, truly forgiving another person, and truly loving another person. So when Jesus promises his very presence, in the presence of others gathered in his name, in the spirit of reconciliation, this is both a comfort and a challenge. My guess is that, just kind of scanning the room this morning, many of us can identify as the sinned against person in this scenario. Many of us feel that someone sinned against us, and my guess is that many of us even think that a member of the church has sinned against us. So what a powerful message of forgiveness and reconciliation that Jesus shares this morning. All we have to do is wait for the sinner to approach us and ask for our forgiveness. But, and this is where it gets even trickier, many of us also need to realize that we are not just the sinned against, but also the sinner. Many of us can identify, my guess at least, many of us can identify at least one person we've sinned against. If the thought of someone seeking forgiveness from us brings us comfort, then the thought of needing to ask for forgiveness from another person might bring up all sorts of negative thoughts and feelings. Guilt for our bad behavior and fear that the other person might not forgive us. As usual, Christ does not leave us alone and helpless with these negative feelings, because Jesus assures us that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And he also gives us the grace to know that whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Forgiveness between people on earth restores relationships, not only between those two individuals, the sinner and the sinned against, but also between the sinner and God, and maybe even perhaps relationships in the body of Christ that we call the church. I encourage all of us as we begin another week to spend time in prayer. I mean, praying in general is a good thing, but I specifically invite all of us to pray that God would reveal to us the names of the people we have sinned against. I invite all of us to pray for the strength to overcome our guilt and fear so that we can approach the people we have sinned against with love and respect, seeking forgiveness, seeking reconciliation, and seeking restoration. Let us pray. Forgiving God, we thank you for the ways you restore us to life. Even when we have sinned against you and when we have sinned against our neighbors, give us the strength and courage to seek forgiveness from others in the sure hope of your grace. We make this prayer and all others in the name of Jesus Christ, our model of forgiveness and Savior from our sins. Amen.